Greetings, family. Greetings. This is my Wootsie. I'm here in the house and ready to do it. I'm feeling the flow. Greetings, Mama R10. Greetings, Bible Tessa, Mama Teresa. That's
it. Come on, R10. Let's roll. You there?
Hello, everyone. Just wanted to say hi. I kind of had a rough day today at school, but I'm ready.
All righty. Well, you come to the right place if you've had a rough day at school, because you know that's what we want to do. We want to make this not only a learning process, but a process that will really help us feel better at the end. You know, we want to see if we can make that happen so that we're living it as we are learning it. All right, and we're going to we've dealt a lot, and we'll come back to some of your questions about feelings as messengers, that part of it. But I want us to roll into this part. We haven't given as much attention to presenting it and how you present the flow of recognition. All right? And you should all have the slides. I'm going to put you on follow me mode so it'll move through it. And so let's see here. Let's start with you, Mawusi. Would you read this slide as if you're presenting it, and then come out of presentation mode and tell me what you what you think about it. What about it? So if you're in front of a group and I'm gonna take you to this one and then take you to the next one as well, the two slides. So you lead me through this as if you're presenting it to a group, and then I'll lead you to the next. I mean, then you lead us to the next slide, and then let's talk about it. All right, hit it. You're standing in front of 50 people in Cincinnati, and you and with Sharifa at your side. Go for it.
Babies cry for it, and grown men die for it. Anyone out there have an idea of what I'm talking about? That's recognition. All people are seeking recognition, even if they're speaking to you every day in simple things in life.
Very good, very good. And the key thing that you did ask is, what is it? Excellent. I didn't mean to click the slide so fast so that you can let people hear, think about, well, what is it? And it's good to get a couple of guesses. Babies cry for it, grown men die for it. What is it? And let people answer. Excellent. You did an excellent job. All right. So continue, Mawusi. Tell you what, before you do that, let me I don't know if you remember this part, because there was a little bit of a transition here. So let me say something about it. You've gone through now the initial slide of what it is as a way to get people's attention, and you got the images there. And then it's welcome to part three, the flow of recognition. Recognition, everybody needs it. You did a great job with that. Now, this is a recognition and about our spiritual walk, and that is the very much about how we recognize people is determined by our sense of spirituality, okay? Our particular spiritual walk, regardless of what we call it, our particular spiritual walk influences and directs how we recognize others and how we recognize ourselves. And so then there's an invitation that everyone, you know, says this word, it's Ubuntu. And so I want y'all to say it, Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.
Ubuntu. Not Ubuntu. Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.
Mo. Mo.
Ubuntu.
That's right, with an attitude. Ubuntu. And of course, you see here the Zulu word Ubuntu can be defined as an attitude of togetherness and spirit and humanness and humanity to others. Humanness. And I am what I am because we all are who we are. All right, so then we go to the next one. Now, sometimes depending on how I'm feeling in terms of the flow, I just ask them to say Ubuntu, okay? and then we go on to the next if they're feeling me. I don't necessarily read that Zulu piece, and then go to Ubuntu, and I ask people to say this, and I'm going to ask you all to say it again, Ubuntu, and then the red, because the Muntu continues. It's Inga, Ingu, Ingu Muntu, and then Inga Bantu, okay? And mainly people are unified, used to hearing a person is a person because they are a people. And this traditional African spiritual worldview shows a basic respect and a compassion for others. So now what I want each one of you to do is from here, I want you to take it from the top, and you just tell me when you want me to move the slide, okay? And everybody else, when the person is presenting, y'all be the audience. So you just present whoever to the audience, okay? And we're going to take you through this slide and through this slide up until here, okay? And then we're going to talk about a little bit about how that spiritual walk is shapes how we recognize people, okay? And so since welcome Valerie, welcome Archie, and whoever might be there with you, let me back off and let you come into the room. And then we're going to have Sharifa start us off and take us through, and then I'll pick someone else and just roll through it. And if anytime you got questions after a person finishes, just we'll ask any questions. Also, please notice when a person finishes what you appreciate about what they did, and any options if it were you. All right, great. So Valerie and Art, let's hear your voices and see your faces in the place.
Hey, Wycastle family, this is Art. I'm here tonight representing the Turner family. Valerie had some unfinished business she had to take care of. She sends out her regards and her blessings. As she says, her spirit is here with us. So I'm just want to know where we are and what we're doing, what did we catch up on. I got the Mubuntu stuff in front of me, so I'm going to know what we're doing with that.
All right, what we're doing here is we focus some good attention on feelings as messengers, and we'll cycle back around to that. We hadn't given as much time, and I want to dedicate some time to understanding the flow of recognition. That's the second part of feel, the flow. The feel is from feelings as messengers. Flow is from the flow of recognition. So this is the introductory slide to that segment. That's part three of what we're doing. Okay, we've gone through the first two. We haven't done it tonight. I'm just saying we've done it over the course, and just in a presentation. Just imagine that you presented, you or the person that you're working with has presented number one, and that is yes, we can. You know, the doorway to hope and how to keep that open and the strategies for that. You presented number two, and that is feelings as messengers. Now you're rolling into, after a commercial break that you just took, talking about your sponsors, you're now into number three. And this is the slide that introduces number three. So we're going to have Sharifa start us off that, and she's going to go through that to Ubuntu, Ingumuntu, Ingabantu. All right? And you'll be telling me, Sharifa, so that I won't go too fast. Just in this case, just go to the next slide, please.
Okay, thanks. And greetings, Valerie and Art. Welcome. Okay, here. Up on the side, you have what babies cry for and grown men die for. What could that be? What is it? Does anybody know? Right here we're talking about recognition, the recognition of our spiritual walk in life. And the recognition of our spiritual walk is embodied in the word Ubuntu. Can everybody say Ubuntu for me?
Ubuntu.
Come on. I know there's more than just Barbara White Cassidy's gather mouth out there.
Ubuntu. Ubuntu.
What is Ubuntu? It's a Zulu word that can be defined as an attitude of togetherness and spirit and humanness and humanity towards others. It means I am what I am because we are what we are as a people. So we share this energy of life on our spiritual walk. And it's very, very important to always be conscious of your spiritual walk in life because it serves as the spiritual foundation of all African people. You, me, and everyone with black skin. It is a unifying vision or a worldview enshrined in this Zulu maxim. Ubuntu, Ungumuntu, Ungabantu. It means a person is a person because they are a people. In this traditional African spiritual worldview, our spiritual worldview shows a basic respect and compassion for others. And that's the root of who you truly are, who we are.
All righty. Mo, thank you for just jumping off into that at my request. All right, family, what you like, please say it. What options you have, if it were you, please let her know. Let's first start with you, Sharifa. What about what you did that you liked, appreciated? And what, upon reflection, might you have done differently? Sharifa, start us off. What is it that you like or appreciate about what you did, and what would you do differently, if anything?
Sorry about that. My mouth was kind of malfunctioning. I feel like I need to... Well, first of all, what I liked about it, first of all, of course, is the message, because it moved me when you introduced it to us, and it moved me to say it and share it myself. And I just hope that the sound of my words can help to move people to see it and feel it too when I present it with my Lucy. And I think that I still need to get more familiar with this message so that maybe I could put even more healing that has a strength of knowledge behind it.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Reflection. Okay. Any feedback? Attends. Mama Wusi. Art. What is it that you appreciate about Sharifa's presentation and her effort? If it were you, what might you? What would you have done differently, or what would you do differently if it were you?
I think that's my partner, y'all. That's Lyra. I like that. Anyway. I think that the message was moving, and the delivery is very important because the message is there. I mean, it's there. The people are going to be reading it while we're speaking it. But the human speaking of it is what makes people attached to it. What Jewel Pookum says, you begin to resonate with it as we deliver it, the way we deliver it. And I think that she spoke it slowly enough so that if I was in the audience, that I would feel her delivery. And then, like she says, as she begins to really become very comfortable with it, like we all, we become very comfortable with it, and it becomes our own work. As we, it comes out of our mouth, it's because we will be authentic with it. I like that.
All right, folks. All right. Art Tense, I see that you typed in something there. Art.
I like it.
I definitely agree with Mama Mawusa, that the presenting the information is very important, and I think she definitely nailed the spirit of the presentation and her voice. You can hear the intensity in her voice. You could feel it. It's what I would say. I could feel it, and I definitely enjoyed the presentation of it. It's almost like you can see pictures, you know, I could see pictures of when she was talking about, you know, that we are a people, you know, that's connected. And I could actually see those pictures by the way that she presented it. And the only thing I would do if it was me, I would probably paraphrase the quotes once I learned them. As opposed to reading them directly from the PowerPoint, but I think that was an awesome presentation.
All right, Mo. Excellent. Whenever we step out and jump in to it, I too love that you took the mantles of leadership, as I invited you to do. You took it and rolled with it. Your transitions were so smooth, I had to work to keep up with you. They were great. I love it. It was smooth. And what's important during this time is that it's if I didn't know that it wasn't yours, I wouldn't know that it wasn't yours. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is make some modifications. I'm going to go over this, and then let's ask questions about it in terms of familiarity. I also will give you some options if it were me as I do that. And I don't know what's happening with my camera, but it'll straighten itself out in a minute. I like, we're on the page, babies cry for it, grown men die for it. What is it? I really like that you asked that question and that you asked us to say. And after you given time for that, you moved on. And similarly, if people are not, you know, with you, you might call on somebody. And says, well, what do you think it is, Ms. Jones? Or what do you think it is, sir? Or this young man back here? What do you think it is? So that way you're getting a little bit of interaction. Sometimes you don't have to pull it out of them. Sometimes they will give it to you already on themselves. If not, you might use it as an opportunity. And I like the way you say, come on now. I know somebody's out there besides Bob Wakessa. Or I think that was on another one. But the same way, I like your comfortableness and understanding that the goal here is to interact with the people, okay? And as opposed to just starting with recognition, you're starting with something that's an enigma, and it pulls people in. That's really important. And you did a great job with that. And, of course, the answer to the question is recognition. And that's our welcome to part three of the flow of recognition. Here's a good time to summarize. We've covered tool number one, and that is yes, we can. That is a statement of hope. And we've covered part two. Part two, or tool number two, is feelings as messengers. We've now arrived at part three. It's called the flow of recognition. Now, here, we want to take a look at what really shapes our recognition. And what we have here is our spiritual walk is what shapes our recognition. It shapes how we recognize other people and how we recognize ourselves. Okay, so that's the key part of this. We're not really talking about our We're talking about how our spiritual walk shapes our recognition. And I intentionally call it a spiritual walk. I'm softening it a little bit because I don't say our spirituality, although you could. I'm really wanting so that people don't get clammed up and tight if they are not open to African words, or if they've just been exposed to it. It's how we walk spiritually, and part of how we walk spiritually comes from our ancestry and comes from our culture, and is expressed no matter how we, religious expression we use. Our spiritual walk is informed by history. And what I want y'all to do is to say this word with me, because it represents part of our spiritual walk, and that is Ubuntu. And, you know, and I may say it again, Ubuntu, okay? You want to give it some of the power that it has with it. Now, that doesn't have to be loud. Sometimes people do it softly. It has to have your energy, Ubuntu, okay, and have people with you there. And this bullet here, I'll say, you've heard of I am because we are. We are because I am. That's what we mean when we say Ubuntu. This particular word is a Zulu word, and you can either read what's there, or if you've got it memorized, you can go for it. All right, now, that's part of it. Let's go on to the next, okay? This, our particular spiritual walk serves as a foundation for our people and its unifying vision. So I want you to take it one step further, folks. Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, Ngabantu. Let me say it one more time before I have y'all say it, because you got to get that rhythm right. Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, Ngabantu. And what that really means is a person because we are a people. Okay, now let me hear y'all say that with some rhythm. Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, Ngabantu. All right, y'all roll with it. Give me some.
Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, Ngabantu. I wanted to say it like this.
Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, Ngabantu.
Thank you, Mawusi. Thank you, Artent. Come on, Sharifa. Come on, Art. Give it to me. Give it to me.
Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, Ngabantu. Oops, sorry. Ngabantu.
Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, Ngabantu.
Now this is I'm just putting a pin in the presentation and talking to y'all about it. This is an important part of getting energy up, okay? It's also an important way, without asking people to change their religion or anything, it's a way to connect them back to our language, using our language to connect them back to our particular worldview, okay? And so the energy that you give it and that you invite to come is a pathway through which we actually are going back in time and coming back forward. So give that kind of energy, have fun with it, practice those words, you know, so that you could, like when you're walking down the street and talk to yourself, when you're washing something, just say to yourself, Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, Ngabantu, so that you're not worried about whether or not you're going to get the Ngu and Nga mixed up, okay? If you do, don't worry about it, just change it and roll with it. But either way, you want to do it with some energy and some rhythm. Now, some of y'all understand the Baptist tradition. You understand when people are speaking to you in a certain way. You understand what happens when they punctuate it just like that. They get a rhythm going on, and you get into that rhythm. It's just like the drums, and you get caught up in it, and you roll with it. And I hope y'all understand what I'm doing, okay? So similarly, although you haven't hit it like that, you're Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, Ngabantu, and it begins to provide a rhythm and an energy that's coming from you, all right? And it's like talking to someone when you don't know the language, but you understand everything they say. And so then when you say, what this means, y'all, is a person because they are our people. Okay? and that's all. You don't have to. You can say the other parts if you want to. But now, Sharifa, you said as you were introducing this part, you said in recognition of our spiritual walk, and I want to point out it's not in recognition of our spiritual walk. What we're talking about is recognition. And that is the process of how we recognize ourselves and how we recognize others, okay? And that flow, okay? And what we're dealing with here is what is the impact of our spiritual walk or worldview, okay, regardless of our particular religion or religious expression. Our spiritual walk, and when he said somebody said, "Well, that ain't mine," says, "Well, that's from an African perspective, that's ours." Okay, that's a traditional African worldview, and it's manifested regardless of what religious, you know, a particular expression you use. And so, it is again not in recognition of our spiritual walk; it is our spiritual walk that shapes or influences our recognition. All right, let me know if you got that switch. That's a very important one.
Yes, I got it. I didn't realize that I even said it like that. Thank you.
Okay. Now, one of the things here is, let me go back. Often on this one, right here, when after people said Umuntu Ingomuntu Ingobantu, and I said, now, if I believe that I am a person because you because we are together, because we are a people. I am because we are. You are because I am. I only exist because we exist. Then is that going to influence how I recognize you? So again, I'm putting another question in here. And of course, people will say, yes. Will that influence how I see you? Yes. Will that influence how I talk to you? Yes. You're doing what see and talk to and whatever, those are just different ways to recognize people, okay? And so you're really then driving home that if this is a belief that I'm a person because we are people, then it's going to influence how we speak to each other, how we, you know, see each other, what we do for each other, what we offer each other, okay? Now that's what this is about. That is, and which is why you can find black people all over, all right? And in the main, if you find black folks, whether they're Catholic or whatever, there is a recognition, and because there is this spiritual walk that still is our walk, okay? All right, so that's the foundation of this. These three slides are to introduce this unit on recognition and to have us see how our traditional African spiritual walk, okay, influences how we recognize. Now, I also often contrast right here. When I'm saying, well, I recognize you, how would it be different if I think that I am superior to you? And maybe I get to that later on. But clearly, if I think I'm with you, and then and one with you, and I don't exist unless you exist, I'm going to recognize and see you in a different way. I'm going to respect you. And you can ask people, so what would that, how would that influence how I recognize you, how I interact with you? Because that's any time I interact with you, I'm recognizing you in some kind of way. And then that's, again, a time for the audience to participate, okay? All right. Any questions in that before we go on? Okay, great. Then I very often skip this, and I think I'm going to take it out. Thank you, Sharifa, and I really like y'all when there are no questions. If you say no, because sometimes we may have some computer difficulty, and your silence may not be your silence. It may be that my sound has gone out or something like that. So I like your response. You know, if there are no questions, you say no, I don't have any, or yes, and all right. So let's move on beyond this particular slide. We'll come back to this slide as we go into the chart. But right now, you've gotten people engaged. They see that. And what we want to do is we're going to go straight to contrasting. All right, so again, I'm going to take that one out. from there. We'll put it back. So we're going to go from there, Ubuntu and Ubuntu and Ubuntu. Our person is a person because we're people. And we're going to contrast that with the Western organizing principle that defines relationship and injures our communication with ourselves and others. Okay? I want y'all to tell me what you remember. Anybody jump in and roll with this slide and tell me, let's see how far we'll go. We'll go, all right, no, we're just going to stick with this particular slide. So roll with this slide. Tell me, you know, you're speaking to everybody else in the group. Go for it. You just finished Ubuntu and Ubuntu and Ubuntu. You just finished that a person is a person because we are people. The audience have just told you what that means. It means they will respect each other more. You'll recognize each other positively. And you said, Ashe, you're absolutely right. So they understand how that spiritual walk influences us. Now, go for it. And I want our tense. You got it.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, hold on. Give me 1 second. Okay, if you notice that when we take the African spiritual walk, that we are usually talking about we. And, you know, as compared to the Western principle of how we define relationship, we tend to talk of, many people talk about, the Western principle is based on usually what you could call a us and them. So it's the superior and inferior type relationship. For example, your boss would be a superior, and can someone give an example of an inferior? Okay, right. Inferior would be the employee. And the way that principle works is that there's a division. And it's based upon a division, and it's based upon opposite.
Hold on. Would you turn your mic down just a little bit? You're doing great. Just turn your mic down just a little bit.
Okay, is that better? Sorry.
Should it be, where? How far is it? Is it midway?
It's about 3/4.
Put it in the middle. Always let's start in the middle, depending upon your sensitivity and your loudness, you adjust it, but it doesn't need to be higher than the middle right now.
Okay, sorry, it's just that with the other seminars, it was kind of, I was asked to turn it up and I never readjusted it. But, sorry, I kind of lost where I was. Hold on.
I'm sorry. So start again. I just wanted us to be with you, and that was so loud. Even if I turned when I turned mine all the way down, it was still being distracted. That's not the word. Distorted. And so just start again. Just start from again with this particular slide. The audience has just seen it.
Okay. If you notice, the African principle is based on togetherness or we, whereas the Western principle of relationships is based upon a type of us and them. It's always in opposition, and that opposition is usually in a form of superior versus inferior. And one example of a superior inferior relationship is, for example, the boss at work. Now, can someone give me an example of the inferior part of that relationship? Okay, right. It would be the employee. Now, now, there's always some kind of hierarchy. One person is higher than another, and whereas you always have someone lower, and this is very different from the African principle of togetherness and we and community, just as when you see where there's many Ethiopian proverbs that say it takes a village to raise a child. It's not saying it takes one person or it takes the teacher or it takes the parent. It's saying it takes the entire community to raise that child.
All right. Mook, mook. Okay. I'm going to keep it rolling, and then we'll just look at everybody. So I want everybody to take this, and we'll come back to you, our tents, in terms of what we appreciate and options. All right. Let's see who. All right. Come on. This is your slide. You just finished Ubuntu and Ubuntu and Ubuntu. You're speaking to the group. This is the next slide. Go for it.
Okay, and as we look at this slide here, we see a line drawn between two alphabets. You have S and you have I. And that can seem very simple, but it's very significant when you're dealing with the Western way of looking at social consciousness or how they do business. And that top form is usually is where they see themselves in the superior position, and that's totally different from the African principles of oneness, you know, where we see each other as twins, as a dual being, and usually they see us in the bottom portion of this graph here, which is in the inferior position. And to understand how important that is, if you could think back some of the old movies, if a person of color would show any type of power, if they would show any type of resistance, even if it was just simply knowing how to speak or read, you would hear the white people say that that person needs to be put back in their place. And when you can see a visual example of that for a superior and inferior, this would be the perfect example. And it's sad to say that we now, as the African people, and some of our attitudes and the way that we see ourselves, we see ourselves already in that position. And sometimes when we have certain success, it feels kind of funny being on that top level. And we may tend to sabotage ourselves to put ourselves back into our place, and that's just definitely not an African centered thought. That's just not an African way of thinking, and we have to definitely be mindful of this type of setup. So, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask me.
Mook. Thank you so much, Archie, for working your way through that and adding your own voice to it. You're up next, Mama Mawusi. This is your slide. You just finished teaching them about Ubuntu and Ubuntu and Ubuntu. The next slide is looking at you.
Reality split is oppositional. Hierarchy contrast without containment is complementary. That's the same slide everybody else just did.
That's right. I want each one of you to go through it. I'm seeing what you remember and also how you would impart this information. That's it.
Forgive me, I thought it was different. Okay. Okay, everyone. This is what I've just talked to you about was how, in essence, we are all in a oneness. You know, Ubuntu, 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 and Ubuntu are all of these are African words that organize us, and we have been living in a separate type of worldview, Western worldview, that separates us and injures us. And injures our ability to communicate with each other. And this is something that we have to repair. We have to realize that we are complements to one another. And this is how we relate, how we communicate with each other.
Mook. All right. Excellent. Let's see. Has that everybody gone through that? Sharifa, have you done this one? I think this is your time to do this one.
No, I hadn't done this one yet. There's a few people in the background, so I hope it doesn't distract. it's very important that we are true to our spiritual walk as African people, because for so long, hold on 1 second, please. Okay, sorry about that. It's very imperative that as African people, we stay true to our spiritual walk, because for so long, we have been forced to exist and survive in this Western worldview, which is backwards and unnatural to our true selves. The Europeans would want to for us to continue to be sleep and to always think that we need to look at ourselves and others as them being superior and us African people being inferior. They want us to sell out to the I, me, and my philosophy. But in truth, who we are as African people, we look upon a twinness, a complementarity, where our mindset thinks and lives the we, the us, the our, what is our own.
Mook. Appreciate that, y'all. Jumping in on this one. Now, since you've heard everyone, what is it that you appreciate or like about either what you said or what somebody else said? And if it were you, what might you do differently after hearing yourself or hearing someone else? Let it roll. Either one of those. Good.
How everybody presented was good. I felt everybody presented it in their own words and their own understanding of what we just learned today. What I'm really impressed with is how that it is put in this workshop and emphasized that we are not to be the African people by culture, by nature, are communal people. I would just we're not all individualized and compartmentalized like that. We need and to have each other, and to be individualized is injurious to our ability to have to validate self and to communicate. I think I'm impressed with that being a part of the workshop and with us being able to project and emphasize that.
I'm definitely impressed with everyone's presentation, being, as Rob Kessler said, to be able to just jump in with this information and to present it from almost from a personal viewpoint, as Sharifa did very well with the personal side of how this Western world has injured us and has us thinking backwards, as backwards, if I could say that. And Mama Mawusa, she called it, by the name, which is on the presentation, the injuries, and that sometimes we don't like to bring it up in such a plain and clear fashion that we've been injured, and it affects our communication with ourselves and with others. And I think I brought that in as to say that we put ourselves back at the bottom of this paradigm. If we think that we are being out of our place, if we showing any type of superiority, and that's the part of the injury that Sharifa was speaking about, how we are thinking backwards. And I think Atence did real well in hers as to bring the information forward about pretty much the same thing on the Western society in their way of thinking. And if it was me with the Atence presentation, if I for some reason was distracted or lost my place, I would find a way to get myself back on track without necessarily letting everyone know that I'm off track. Sometimes you can cover it up in such a way that they don't even know that you messed up. So that would be something that I would do if I was in a live presentation. But overall, for her to come back and to be able to chime in and to feel the flow, I think she did a great recovery job with that. So props to all the family.
I like Mama Mawusi and Sharif focus on the relationship. On relationships. And I like Archie's connection. I really like the part about the divide, and that's something I would like to use myself. But also that personal touch of talking about movies, because everyone watches movies. I thought everyone did a good job, and that's pretty much it.
I agree. I think everyone did a really good job, and I really appreciate it. Hearing the different flows that each of you had, because it just deepened the layers that I was going into it, along with my own journey, being able to walk in your journey also through your words, sound, and power was very touching and helpful to me too.
I really liked the way y'all all jumped in and you made it your own and just roll with it. And I like it. For one thing, again, it gives me a sense of what you're making of it. There will also be times that you'll need to roll with stuff in a similar way. So I really like that. A couple of things that I want to make sure that we're emphasizing here. The key here is we're contrasting worldviews. We've just seen one worldview, and that is, I am because we are because I am. Then there is another worldview or organizing principle. I intentionally didn't call it a particular spiritual walk, and began to talk about it as an organizing principle. To say this is how relationships are organized from a Western perspective, okay, and it injures and directs our communication in contrast to Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, Ngabantu. What we have is the S and I line, and I encourage you to say that. What we have in the place of that is the S and I line. All right, before you start talking about what white people want versus what we want, you want to introduce the notion, the concept, the organizing principle of superior over inferior, okay, of splitting the world and splitting relationships into those two categories, okay? So that's important before we start talking about what white people like and what we don't like and what white people want us to do and what white people, boom. Because it's really an organizing principle, as you'll see, that includes race, and it also includes many other things, all right? This existed when there were no black people around in white folks' world. This S&I worldview existed, and it directed their relationships. Okay, so... And some of you, how many of you remember during the presentation any of you remember at all how I would drive this point home? Often I'd create a scenario or a role play. Do you remember that at all?
I remember about the hierarchy. I think you were talking about men and women, for example. That's the only one I can think of for now.
All right, very good, Hortense. There are two pieces. One is that you can put different groups on this bar. This is important for a couple of reasons. Some of the audience you're speaking to will not be all black. That is, it may be a black church, it may be a black group, but there may be some white people in the group. That's okay. You're not changing what you're saying, but you're saying this organizing principle and concept exists across many different kinds of relationships. It does not just exist with black-white relationships, okay, because it is an organizing principle that defines relationships, okay, how people see each other, relate to each other, just as the other one, Ubuntu Inga Muntu Inga Bantu, defines how we relate to each other. So putting up, say, okay, you know, if we're talking about different groups and how they relate, if we say one is superior and one is inferior, and you tell me where they put on the line. If I say men as opposed to women, where do men go? Okay, this is what I want you to do, just like that. And if, where do men go? Where do women go? Not necessarily what you believe, okay, but what is the message in terms of the society, in terms of where to go? People who have jobs and people who don't have jobs. People who are the bosses and people who are the employees. People who are old and 60, 70, 80, feeble, and people who are, you know, strong and able-bodied. All right, so you get the sense that this is, and you, what happens is you get to keep people in the room with you, okay? If you go straight to race, then the only people who are going to stay in the room with you are the people who are ready to deal with that. If there's some people who got some uncomfortableness with that, okay, even though they come to the workshop because they also want some healing, you have lost them, okay? If you extend it, including race and class and age and gender, okay, then they begin to quickly see that it is an organizing principle about relationships, and it is not just an organizing principle about racial relationships. Let me stop right here and make sure y'all got that.
I got it. It makes sense. Relationships supersede your race. It really supersedes your gender. It really is about your ability to communicate.
I don't want to go superseding it. We're just talking about different kinds of relationships, because it is not just your ability to communicate. It really is, it directs your communication. The particular principle directs how I communicate with those different groups, okay? It defines and hinges our communication, but we're talking about the different kinds of relationships, okay? So you see this organizing principle at work directing our communication with each other and relationships with each other across a number of dimensions, okay, of difference. So it's not that it supersedes relationships. It is actually, it organizes relationships. It organizes the communication of those relationships.
I definitely see this in a broader sense, being that you brought that example out, and it will encompass more people in the room other than just hitting the race factor, whether it be old versus young, people with money and versus people that doesn't have it, and people that are broke, along those lines. And I do remember an example, it may have been here at the house when we had the presentation, and you asked us what would be some of the thoughts we had about rich people, and most of them was negative. And what got my attention was that no one put themselves in that position as another rich person talking to another rich person. We automatically put ourselves in an inferior position talking to someone that was rich. We didn't put ourselves in, you know, from a rich person talking to another rich person. So that's how I get the understanding of it.
Great. Everybody else, you understand that part? Now I'm going to go to, there are two other parts to go to with it. But first, you don't, please go to that, this, just like Ubuntu Inga Muntu Inga Bantu, you're talking about the S&I line, the superior inferior line, that division, that principle of seeing the world, seeing other people, relating to other people and other groups of people based on who is superior and who is inferior. That is the organizing principle that defines relationship and injures communication. It also directs communication, okay, with self and with others. And that's what you were referring to, Archie, in a minute ago, in terms of it directs our communication with ourself, okay, depending on what side of that line I'm on, in relationship to others, okay? And just so that y'all can drive this home, when you're doing this, make sure you include enough dimensions so that you yourself find yourself both at the bottom and on the top of that line, okay? Because you also have been trained in this Western organizing principle. We all have, okay? I don't smoke, never have, and I still know that Winston tastes good like a cigarette should, okay? Because it's been put in my head so many times when I was at the age watching television, watching the Westerns and all that stuff like that, okay? So thinking about the indices, the groups, you might think about race, you might think about class, you might think about age, you might think about gender, you may think about physical ability. Okay, so you don't have to be extensive, but just, you know, bringing some of those from the audience, okay, so that the way we're taught. Now, the thing that where it says reality is split is oppositional. The Western worldview is that reality, the world, is split, okay? And so you have a split. You have men and women, okay? You know, men and women. And those are split. Now, Africans would see men and women as complementary. Europeans see these splits as oppositional. So it turns from just two sides of the same coin to two sides that are in opposition, okay? While Africans see them as complementary, while Asians see them as complementary, and they call it yin-yang. We call it twinness, okay, or complementarity. Now, this is important because many people have heard of yin-yang, okay? And so it's a good way to make that contrast between this part of this principle, this the reality, because what you're doing now, these three things at the bottom, is to showing them how you get to S and I. Okay, you're taking them on, you're compressing, oh man, you're compressing European culture from 50,000 BC to now in three segments. I mean, three little sentences or sentence fragments. Reality is split, and those splits are oppositional. And then from oppositional, they are hierarchical, okay? And it's one's job to control and keep the other one down, okay? And that is the S and I line right there, that split right there. That, because we go from, if they're split day and night, up and down, men and women, okay? Reality, we see those differences. And those differences, they see as oppositional. And then hierarchical, okay? While Asians, for example, see the differences very often as complementary, yin and yang, yang energy, yin energy. Africans, even before the Asians, call that twinness and complementarity, okay? So let me stop here and see if you got that. That's explaining that, okay?
So we need to emphasize, the oppositional part of the relationship of the S and I line.
Well, no, the whole thing really gets it. If you're showing people how this developed, essentially, without taking them through specific, you know, history 101, okay? But you're really compressing time, and you're compressing from 50,000 BC to now, okay? You don't have to tell them that part. No, that's just for you. And that is for the Western way of viewing, which is another way to say European, okay? And notice in here, I'm not, I don't you know, depending on, on the slide I said the Western organizing principle, the European organizing principle, and you might do that, and we get white folks when we say who goes on this line, that kind of thing like that. But I'm really wanting it to be kind of big, right? I don't want for it to narrow down to just white folks and black folks, or just these white folks here, or Mr. Gilmore. Okay, I want it to be actually broad, European, Western, etc. Because it does. Doesn't matter which language they speak, French, or whatever. Now, our tense, it's all three. This is how this developed. For Europeans, reality is split. If they say, well, where you get this from? Somebody challenges you. He says, well, you know, if you want a reference, you can read Marimba Ani Jirugu, and it's really okay if you have a different opinion. From my studies and from those that I've studied with, this is how this S&I line developed. And you just roll from there, okay? And that is reality split. And many people see reality having dual parts. But Asians and Africans and Native Americans often see those parts as complementary, while Europeans have tended to see those parts as oppositional, okay? And then from the opposition to hierarchical, okay? And now you got the S&I line, right? And that's what it takes. It takes all three of those are tense in order to see the S&I line. And all you're doing is having them see, just like you had them see Ubuntu and Ubuntu and Ubuntu, you're having them see the S&I line as an organizing principle that also guides their relationship and how they relate to others. Because what you're doing is you're setting up a choice. You're setting up a choice for us to inform our recognition from an African worldview of I am because we are and we are because I am. Okay. Even before you give them anything about the chart, you know, you're setting up a worldview that resonates with our spirituality. Okay. It also resonates with what white people want to do, but they don't do. Okay, so there's an attractiveness to that. Culturally, intellectually there is. Culturally, there's not strong enough for them to actually live it out. But that's another point. So you've gotten this in our line. You've gotten different parts on it. That is different relationships, class, race, gender, etc. So people can see this thing as operating in different ways as a principle. Okay, and then you also give a sense of contrasting this worldview where reality is split, is oppositional hierarchical, with one that sees differences as complementary, all right? And, of course, complementary would be I am because we are and we are because I am, all right? And you're also dropping in another familiar piece of way people used to hearing it, and that is yin-yang from the Asian culture, okay? All right. Now, last thing on this part, and that is, what I often do here, if you remember in the workshop, certainly in Macon, I go out into the audience that says, okay, you're the president of the company, or I think when in Macon, what did I say? You work for a college and you are the janitor, and y'all happen to be at a meet and greet that the college is offering. And so you pretend to be this and you pretend to be that, and y'all just having this conversation. Well, hello, how you doing? What you do? All right. Do y'all remember that now? Does that bring back any memories?
I definitely remember that scenario.
All right. Now, that's important. That's what you're doing here is you're having them affirm that they already know this. And you're having them affirm, right, you're having them affirm that this is real. So you're not having to come out with a whole lot of quotations from a whole lot of folks and beat them over the head with it. You're able to say, let's just see. And very often people will say, yeah, this is what I would do, or this is what I would do, or this is so-and-so. Oh, yeah, he'd be gone. So you're using an S&I relationship. So often I'll say, okay, then here's a trash man, or here's someone, you're the college professor, and this person is a graduate student. Or this is a trash man, and you're a teacher, or you're a principal, and y'all have a conversation. So, all right, y'all meet at the whatever, and I ask them to role play. And then it says, okay, what's likely going to happen? Is this going to influence their relationship? and you let the people say, and then you also invite others in the audience to say, so is this going to affect their relationship? Is this going to affect how they communicate? And the people will say, yes, it will, and give you some of that. And you just do a little bit of that, because, again, part of this presentation style is not just standing up preaching to people, okay? I will pull you down fast as I would if all you're doing is just preaching to people. That's not what you're doing, okay? Yes, you are telling them some things, and you're telling them passionately and wonderfully. You also are easing into interactions, and you're easing out. So in 2 hours, they don't feel like they've just been sitting there listening to somebody do something for 2 hours, or all they've been doing is yes, yes, yes for 2 hours, okay? You're really helping them come to an understanding, a deep level understanding, without going through beating them over the head by actually having them affirm it with their own experience and their own communication out of their mouths. It also is important because if there are other people in the room and some people aren't quite getting it, as they see others kind of participate and say, yeah, that'll affect him like that, and that'll affect them like that, and he'll say that, and I'll say that, if it were me, I'll whatever, then even people who may have been reticent before are now engaged, okay, in the space. So those three things are tremendously important for this. Just as it was important for you to have Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, and Ubuntu, it's important that people are along with you, okay, here, understanding how that principle works and how it directs their relationship, okay? I don't want during this time, the Europeans want us to be asleep. They want us to sell out to me and my philosophy. No, that's not what's happening right here, okay? This is not the time to say we have to be true to our spiritual walk, because we've been forced to walk and doing stuff and backwards. That ain't the time. You understand what I'm saying? The purpose here is to have them see the organizing principle at work, okay? Not to preach to them about what we need to do differently. Okay, it really comes out of it. You see what I'm saying? They come to that conclusion themselves when they see you in relationship to the trash man or somebody in relationship to the trash man. You see, you don't want to, you know, give them. And one other thing, if you remember, I don't say during this session, rarely, if ever, do I say this is what we ought to do. This is what we should do. Okay, we've been beat up and should to death. Okay, what I try to do is create it where people can come to those conclusions themselves, and a little less on that. I won't say that I never say it because I'm talking a lot, but I am clear that I don't do a lot of this is what we ought to do, this is what we got to do, whatever, particularly at the beginning. Toward the end, I may get on a roll, here, you don't want to do that. Here, your job is to have them see two worldviews. Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, Ngubuntu, okay? Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, Ngubuntu, that's a worldview, okay? And that influences relationships. And I want you to practice this week seeing that, looking for that, and start saying to yourself, Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, 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 saying that, okay? And seeing how that works. And also, pay attention to the S&I line and how that people from across those lines communicate to each other differently. And therefore, you can have those examples. You say, you know what, I was just at a grocery store the other day, and I saw someone, and I just know if this person was responding to someone else who was not on the inferior side, that they would have communicated differently. I've seen myself how I communicate differently to someone who's considered lower class than me, and I had to catch myself, or I'm sad to say that I didn't catch myself. You know, you see what I'm saying? So look for those so that you are presenting this principle and you are not above it. You may not like it. You may want to change it. You may be working to change some of it. Some of it you may have changed, but you clearly ain't above it. Okay, any more than I'm above Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. It's in there. I don't follow it, but it's sure in there. This S&I line, and the more you can know about how it operates in your life, then the more authentic you will be in the presentation. If you quickly go to white folks and black folks and what they want to do and whatever, then you're going to blow it, because your job is to have people see how this particular spiritual walk influences and injures our relationships. Okay? You see, even before you get to the four quadrants, you're giving them a really powerful foundation and a choice to make a decision to take another spiritual walk. It's an invitation for them to walk in an African spiritual path without beating them over the head and telling them they ought to do it, you know, and tell them what white folks don't want them to do and all that. You don't want to do it right now. You'll get resistance, okay? But you're giving them that choice and making it plain and evoking it out of them. All right. Questions or comments? All right. No questions and no comments. Is that right? Okay. All right. We are not going to go through this tonight. We're going to end. These were scheduled to be hour and a half sets. Sometimes we've gone over, and I really appreciate y'all's time for that in the past, but I want to keep it to an hour and a half when we can. Sometimes it may be getting good, and we may choose to go a little bit over, but in the future, I will ask your permission so you can plan on it being an hour and a half and not taking up all of your evening. And we will take it in small chunks. I do want you to review what we have gone over this evening. I want you to come back to the same space, okay? And you can go through these slides and you can pretend that you're presenting them. You may also have them written out. I'm going to give you also the a link so that you can go back to them. You don't have to be in the conference room. You can do them from a browser. That's the link. You'll want to save your text chat, or you want to write that down so that you can go back and just start going through it with your partner, pretending that you're talking to a larger group, okay, or print it out and stand up with it, pretend that you're talking to a larger group, and just go from the introduction of it to this one page here, the S&I line, all right? All right, we are looking forward to having people certified this month and actually be out doing these presentations. We start in August, and I want to, my goal was to, by September, have some presentations being made outside of this setting and into the real world. So please start identifying places that you would like to present to and talking to the people that you need to present to. You can let them know that if you need to, that you are in training. This is part of your training that you have to present to different groups and et cetera. But you want to start lining those up. And as we work through this piece, what we'll start doing, and what you might do is start looking at the pieces. If you know your pairing that you would like to work on presenting and the other person would like to work on presenting, and then start presenting those to each other, if you will. It's everybody in here has a altruistic and a personal reason for doing these presentations. That is, the altruistic reason is to help our people flip the script. And personal reasons, I know that Hortense and Archie are a part of our CompoTax family, and the more people they meet and provide this healing with, the greater their pool of potential clients is. And so we definitely want y'all to be getting out and ranging to groups to speak to different groups and make this presentation to different groups. The Mausi and Sharifa are parents in I Education Institute, and they will be also using this to help earn tuition for their wonderful children, as well as the altruistic purpose, and that is of helping our people flip the script. All right, y'all, I'm done with the 3 minutes that we have left. Let's end, like we always end, with some appreciations. What you appreciate about yourself, would you please start there? And if you have any sadness or regrets that you would like to say so that you might leave them here and have a good night's rest, would you please, if you mean you're open, you're invited to do that, whether it's about tonight or it's about anything in life, you're in a safe space and you can do that in a way to let go if you want to. So what you appreciate about yourself and anything that you'd like to say to let go, and anything that you appreciate about tonight and the training, if there's anything. All right?
I'd like to say, actually, I think last week I mentioned about the little boy who threw something at me the other day. I spoke to him, I think it was Friday, I actually spoke to him. And, of course, I spoke to him one-on-one, took him to the library where anyone else would not be in the conversation. Because at first he didn't want to, you know, he wanted to play tough guy. And he wanted to just stand and look crazy. And so I told him, I said, you want everybody to hear a conversation, or you want to go off to a corner and talk, or, you know, to a different area and talk. And so he followed me to a different area. And, you know, one thing I told him is that, because from my understanding, he's already in some kind of game from, and this is just rumors, I don't know, and I did not ask him. But I did tell him that, you know, the road he's going down is going to be a really hard road because it may lead to jail. And I told him I loved him, and regardless of what he did, I was still going to love him, and that I didn't want him to end up in jail, and that I told him I was hurt by what he did. I told him I was no longer angry about it. And, you know, I told him all the emotions that I felt regarding it, mad, scared, and sad. And I told him that I'm no longer mad about it, because I think he thought I was still mad about it. And I said, I'm not mad about it. I said, I'm scared and I'm sad. And it was more about him than it was about me, that I was scared and sad. And so, you know, he played the tough role and act like he wasn't listening, but I really think he was. Because I told him I would tell his teacher that I had him later. And it's funny because the teacher came to me and said, did you have him? And I said, yeah. And so she said the boy that he was with when I saw him in the hall was saying, he didn't do anything this time. He didn't do anything. And I just thought that was hilarious. And so he asked the boy if, the teacher asked the little boy if he was in trouble. He said, no, she just wanted to talk to me. And so I don't know if he honestly took it to heart, but I haven't seen him since. I haven't seen him at all this week, so I don't even know. I don't know. I think I got through a little bit. I think I see a piece of light coming out, but I know it's going to be a road, because he's already in the stuff, and I mentioned to him that, you know, if it's hard in that, in his, where he is, where he lives, he has to fight that much harder to do the right thing, not to get caught up in stealing and that path, and down that wrong path. But anyway, I know one thing, and I know it's probably selfish, but I did feel better after telling him that. I asked him how he felt about throwing it was a broken crayon he threw at me. And I asked him how he felt, and, you know, I got the typical child shrug. So, but I appreciate myself for being that vulnerable and honest with a child. So, I'm thankful for Feel the Flow for allowing me to gain that insight about myself to be able to talk to him.
Mo. Why I did. Fantastic. Great. He needs to hear, I love you. It was a powerful confrontation. The flow that he was expecting was, you ain't nothing. You never going to be nothing. You know, your daddy won't nothing. That's what he was expecting. He's used to that kind of recognition. You know, he knows what to do with it. You know, at least it shows him he's alive. And for you to flip it and to say, I love you, okay, was clearly flipping the script. Great. And I loved your hearing, your saying that you felt better. One question, when you say better, I felt better, is that you felt joyful or more joyful or peaceful or more peaceful or more powerful when you say better?
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize you had stopped talking. The screen was a bit frozen. But, you know, I powerful, and that I felt all over myself because it brought a little, it brought some peace to me, and I felt that powerfulness of me being vulnerable, but yet not being afraid to be vulnerable or not being scared of being vulnerable. And it brought peace to me that, you know what, I'm here to help the community. And so, yeah, I'm here to help the community.
So, and I want y'all to take note and listen. So when you hear yourself saying, I felt, what should come after that, okay, is what should come after that is a feeling, okay? And Mama Wusu, right now what we're talking about is a feeling of power, and that's what you may mean with a state. So excellent. That is, when, you know, what you felt is a feeling. You felt powerful, all right? So when you hear yourself say, I felt better, or I felt worse, or I felt whatever, try to, you know, be specific and tease out whether that means you felt more powerful and whatever. Wow, okay, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Okay, what I was saying is, maybe I'm just trying to get some hair up there or something like that. Okay, what... just encourage you when you hear yourself say, I felt, follow that with, I felt power, whatever your feeling is, mad, sad, scared, joyful, peaceful, powerful, or some combination thereof. Good work. Great work, actually. Others, appreciations of yourself, regrets, anything you want to say that you learned or relearned that you want to tag.
Thank you, our team, for that story, because it was inspirational just to allow yourself to be seen, in essence, to be, you know, put yourself on the line to that child to say that I'm a real person, you know. And children, I think, don't think their teachers are real, or they don't really pay much attention to them, but for you to say to him, I am a real person and I have feelings too. That was real, and that's a real a lesson for me. But that's something for me, you know, to be proud of you of and to recognize you for. And I'm grateful for this feeling the flow of success. It's almost like workshops for us just to sit down and really hash out our real feeling. That's real.
Well, I want to appreciate you, Mama Wusu, because we don't have to do this all in order, and I won't necessarily go all around. I'll come back and forth. I appreciate you for being here and spending this precious time away from your family and into this process. I so much appreciate, you know, given all the things that are going on in your life, you're choosing to put this in and be here and really be here and put yourself in it. I really appreciate that. That takes a lot of wisdom and a lot of courage. Mo.
I like to say that I really appreciate being here and being a part of this oneness, this journey, the spiritual walk that we're taking together during this time. And even though I know all of our time is precious, being here and experiencing and sharing what we're sharing is very precious too. And I know that I am very blessed to be here. And I feel as though sometimes, I guess I have to say, sometimes I feel, I guess, sad, mad, and scared as far as bringing up an example. I did, at least in the past, very near past, when my son, I've been witnessing that my son was going through some turmoil and what I perceived as
you know, going against our liberty. And I guess I never expected for him to do it in such a strong manner, but wanting to take a different road for his education, his last year of high school, it's been very challenging dealing with his wants and desires, but I have to say that since we have become a part of the Aya family and the web conferences through Aya and through Field of Flow that I've been a part of has really helped me to find some resolutions with my feelings of being mad, sad, and scared, and this is helping me take a spiritual walk to the place of being joyful, peaceful, and powerful so that I can get my balance, my eye, where it needs to be, because I see that since Aya has, you know, been part of our lives, I've felt much more joyful, much more peaceful, much more powerful, as far as I know, regardless of, you know, what my son is going through. I know that he's going to find what he knows or what he may not know that he's looking for going to school with Aya every day. That I'm sure of. So that's a very important part of my daily walk, that I have been able to just walk through and live through, and Feel the Flow has certainly helped. So I'm thankful to be a part of it.
I'm definitely feeling Sister Sharifa, and I think it's a blessing to have this information in front of us to give us a guideline on how to have better relationships during these hard economic times or hard personal times, whatever we're going through. And I can only imagine myself just not learning these tools as an adult, what it must be like for a child or adolescent to be going through their life and not knowing this information, how to chart their feelings, let alone talk about them. And this information of Feel the Flow allows me to chart my feelings, and it makes it easier for me to talk about my feelings, which has been a problem even in my relationship now. And I definitely like to give thanks to Baba Wakesa, Atense, Mama Mawusi, and Sharifa for continuing to stay plugged in and to continue to learn to build as a family. And my hopefulness is that we can see how important it is that we learn this information for our personal gain, and that our family abroad, whether it's a neighbor across the street or the community, is definitely in need of this type of information. And I think this is our time to embrace it, learn it, master it, and to encompass it in our everyday life. And that's my intentions for me to do just that. And I'd like to thank Wakesa for his patience and his guidance as how to use the tools that he's presenting us. And I hope everyone have a great night. And Valerie wishes everyone well. Go well.
All right, folks, it's been wonderful. I certainly do appreciate you, Archie. I love what you said. And also, that was great pronunciation on Mama Woosie. It took me a minute as well. And I also love what you said. And you are right on point. As we master this in our own relationships, then we share it with authenticity. And it helps others to become the author of their relationships and the story of their lives, and sets them up to be authorities in their own lives. And Mama Woosie, I appreciate you, as I said earlier. Artense, I really appreciate you. I heard you when you came on saying you had a rough day, and I appreciate your hanging in, and your doing more than hanging in. You participated and brought your spirit, and I really appreciate that. And you too, Sister Sheree, for that story about your peacefulness with your son, or gaining more of that, is so important for you and for him. So, and that, of course, endorsement about Aya is something that I really appreciate. We're looking forward to a great year, and it's been great being with you. It's 9:15. Y'all take care. Please give our regards to Valerie and anybody who you knew wanted to be here but couldn't be here. Until next time. We're out of here.